I'm Sandy Goldman, and you're listening to Each for All, the Cooperative Connection on Vancouver Co-op Radio. And now let's preview the Co-op Congress, June 19th to 21st in Victoria. We have Paul Saba on the line. Paul is the Manager of Cooperative Development and Strategic Partnerships at Co-ops and Mutuals Canada, which sponsors the Congress. Hello, Paul, and thanks for joining us on Each for All.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
Paul, for a little background for those people who might not be aware, what is the role of Co-ops and Mutuals Canada?
Well, we're here to represent the voice of co-ops across Canada. Shorthand, I sometimes use is we're kind of a chamber of commerce of cooperatives. But our role specifically to support the cooperative model, both in terms of helping co-ops expand, but also dealing with issues with government and the public regarding co-ops in general. And really trying to position co-ops as a needed vehicle for addressing some of the challenges of the future.
And so this is your fifth co-op Congress. Have these been annual events over the last 5 years, or was there a break in between?
No, they certainly have. It has been 5 years. Co-ops and Mutuals Canada itself is actually an amalgamation of both a Francophone co-op association and the Anglophone side. That happened 5 years ago, so this is the fifth of this organization. The two previous groups had been around for decades before then. So it's combining the expertise of all across Canada and then both official languages. So this is the fifth Congress, and I'm quite happy. I think it's our best one.
Now,
in terms of content.
Right. We're going to peel back the layers of that content. But first question is for people out here. Why did you choose to have this one in Victoria on the West Coast?
We do change it every year. We try to go at West Coast, East Coast, Central, and rotate it. That'll be what we do over the following years. Quebec will be next year. And then after that, we'll probably choose an East Coast. And so we try to rotate it across the country.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the theme for this year's Co-op Congress.
Well, I think for most people, looking at what's happening in the world right now, they're all holding their breath. Things are changing so rapidly. And how do co-ops respond to a changing world? That's the biggest theme. How do we adapt to a very rapid communications, significant shifts in the political landscape, in the economic landscape? And co-ops are strong, stable vehicles that provide stability. How do they actually provide that stability in the context of a very, where we're feeling like we're sitting on quicksand to some extent?
Sure.
And I think there's actually some solutions there, and we'll be exploring that deeply in a number of areas.
Paul, one of the, again, the top issue of the top issues for cooperators, as researched by the Center for the Studies of Cooperatives at USASC, continues to be public awareness of the cooperative movement. Will you be focusing on that somewhat at the Co-op Congress?
Well, it's a constant theme, and part of it is public awareness on a broad scale of what co-ops are. We also have to get better in terms of inserting co-op discussions on key issues that are facing Canadians. I think that's probably more of what we're looking at in the context of our Congress. Certainly there's lots of activity taking place on the political level in terms of trying to raise co-op awareness in Parliament in Ottawa and undertaking some more assertive public promotion campaigns. So that's a general theme we have throughout the year. In this particular Congress, I think some of the themes that we're looking at is how do we insert co-ops into dialogue as a tool, as a response to some of the issues facing Canadians, and then also leveraging some of the opportunities.
So what are some of the issues that we're focusing on at the Congress that you see co-ops having a role in?
Well, there's a broad range of things. I think we have some great guest speakers around this coming in, and one is Bill Wemekin. He's actually from the U.S., from the Cooperative Network formerly, and they have one of the more sophisticated approaches of how co-ops have engaged themselves in politics in a very neutral way, but have had some very strong success inserting co-ops into the public and public policy realm. Probably one of the best examples in the world. He'll be speaking about how we can do that as a whole across the country and in each of our provinces. We also have Ed Mayo, who's probably one of the more cutting-edge thinkers. He's actually the Secretary General of Cooperatives UK, our sister organization in the UK. He's done some excellent writing around the future of co-ops and where they respond to some needs. So he'll be one of our keynotes, and then talking about specifically how the values of co-ops provide some stability in this kind of very, some of the tectonic shifts taking place right now. So that'll be one key theme. I think it also, in this world of kind of intense competition and kind of the default mode of compete or die, I think that's one narrative I think we have to overcome. And one great guest speaker we have, actually, our keynote is Christina Groves, who I've worked with before. She's actually a four-time Olympian and also actually involved in a co-op in Alberta. And she'll be talking about how co-ops and competition actually can balance each other out and be used very strategically, tying her to her personal experience as an Olympian and her work with co-ops as well. So those are a few of the few tasters that you can take a look at.
I think that's really exciting. One of my questions was, how do you see co-ops positioning themselves in relation to the changing landscape around, for example, the digital economy?
Actually, that's one of the more interesting areas. We'll have some key speakers around that coming on, talking about how some of the larger co-ops are moving more into the digital landscape. But from my perspective, one of the more exciting things that are happening is our platform co-ops. So how co-ops are entering into the online space and providing new ways for people to interact in a more open, democratic, and equal manner. You know, there's a fantastic example of that. One of the best in the world right now is actually Stocksy, which is in Victoria. They'll be both a tour of the Stocksy group, and as well they'll be speaking. We've had them speak before. A great example of a multinational co-op with members across the world, and they basically provide stock photo producers a much higher rate of return on their photo stock compared to other services out there. And there's lots of discussion taking place and some good examples coming up around other kind of online platform responses to things like Uber and Airbnb. So several projects like that are taking place across Canada and across the world. And so we'll be highlighting some of those as well.
Paul, what about cannabis co-ops and with the legalization coming up over the summer? Do we see some growth on that front for co-ops?
Well, we certainly have. There's actually some discussion out there about one of the largest potential businesses coming into the cannabis production sector may actually be a co-op. There's a number of groups coming together around that generally. More specifically, well, actually, we have holding a workshop on cannabis, both from the legal perspective, there'll be discussions, as well as an example from the Kootenai Growers Co-op, which is looking at entering into the field. So there'll be a specific discussion around that on the afternoon of the 20th.
Would you say that there's something for everyone in a sense? Are there sessions like on worker co-ops, housing co-ops? Is it that kind of event?
I certainly welcome people to come and take a look at the events. I think there's a fair bit out there. Housing co-ops are not a strong focus. Actually, the Canadian Housing Co-op Federation annual meeting in Congress is actually taking place in Victoria as well, just a couple of weeks before. They will certainly have representation there, but we certainly, that's where I think the expertise on housing co-ops stands, and we support that very strongly. I think, again, I would welcome people to take a look at our event. It's our webpage is canada.coop, and there's a detailed description of what the activities are. People are still welcome to join us. We do actually want to put out there that we do actually have some bursaries for younger Canadians to join us at this. People 35 and under can actually apply for attending, and details on that on the website. But as well, yeah, take a good look at what we have in terms of the what we can offer, and I think there is a bit for everybody. I think it's probably right to say.
Paul, what about investment co-ops and financing for co-ops that want to start up? I mean, surely that's a perennial issue. Is there anything new on that front, just more broadly?
Certainly is. We're very pleased to say that we were able to launch the Canadian Cooperative Investment Fund late last year, and we are now in the process of making our first investment. That's a fund that's been invested in by some of the larger co-ops across Canada, co-op leaders, Desjardins, a number of credit unions, Arctic co-ops, etc. So that's CCIF.coop, and we currently are in the process of finalizing some initial deals where we are investing directly in co-ops. That fund itself is co-op invested and co-op focused, and will only invest in co-ops, and we can take longer term positions, more patient investment, patient equity in co-ops across Canada, because that's one of the issues co-ops have is in terms of getting equity or that kind of patient financing, because there's so many different members, it's hard for them to get the kind of security they need to move forward, even though the model tends to be much more secure and long-lasting. So this is actually a fund that understands that model. So we'll actually have a representation from there. We have a workshop specifically on co-op financing where we have reps from CCIF, the Canadian Cooperative Investment Fund, speaking, as well as some co-op developers, Marty Frost, who many of you know, will be speaking. He's actually on our board, and we'll talk about his experience. And we'll also have Eden Yesh from the BC Community Impact Investment Coalition speaking as well. So,
Paul, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, in from Co-op and Mutual Canada's point of view, in dealing with the federal government, this particular federal government over the last few years, do you feel that there's a dialogue or an openness to the cooperative movement that might be a bit different than the years of the former conservative government? Do you feel that there's some headway, and that with this current government's focus on innovation, that there, you know, might be a way to get a bigger foot in the door for co-ops? What's your experience?
Well, that's a big part of my job, and a big focus of our organization in general is government relations, and trying to link in with the priorities of this current government. We have a campaign we've been running for over 2 years now called Solving Challenges Together, which offers a hand out in partnership to the federal government and provincial governments in addressing key issues that the government's focused on. And that's everything from, you know, co-ops as vehicles for economic reconciliation with First Nations, strong focus on renewable energy and what results we can do with that, kind of sustainable trade development using the co-op model, broadband access for rural communities are key themes. So we put those on the table, and the dialogue has been ongoing. Nothing solid has come yet, although we have had the passing of Motion 100, which is a motion calling for a study of a framework for co-ops across Canada. And the recent announcement at the anniversary of that motion back in April has said that consultations will be beginning around this motion in the next few months. We were hoping to have that tied into Congress, but it logistically didn't quite work out. So we fully anticipate some strong engagement around that over the coming year. We will have a paper that we produce and will be actually shared at Congress, which talks about a potential response to Motion 100 and some key ideas that the federal government may want to take a look at in terms of working hand-to-hand with the co-op sector. And some of those will be explored in our Congress, and some of which I've already mentioned already.
Oh, that's wonderful. So slow and steady wins the race here. Hey, Paul? Got to plug away at it.
It always does. I think we can do a lot more. I think we can get better strategically and around our political, I don't like the word lobbying, but our political relationships with government, and then being careful that we're not painted as any favoring any one party. I think we have to be neutral. Co-ops are neither left nor right, they're up. And, you know, if you look at the co-op sector across the country, there's people from all political persuasions in leadership positions. And I think that's the reality of the co-op model. It's about the people we serve, our members. And I think there's a strong potential link with government that has to be built. And government has to realize that, you know, on key co-op issues, that we can be seen as a voting bloc on specific co-op issues.
Right.
I think we have to get much better at that.
Yes, we did an interview in April with the Ontario Co-op Association. I was speaking with Aaron Morgan, who's dealing with government relations, the executive director, and an interesting strategy that she has, a kind of cooperative caucus, members from all three major parties that they meet with ongoingly, and we know that likely there'll be a change in government and in Ontario after the vote on June 7th. So I guess it's kind of laying a foundation to educate as many people as possible about the cooperative movement and not just the sitting government. So I think that's a kind of prudent approach. Paul, you're giving out awards at the Co-op Congress. Can you say more about those and how those are determined?
I can say something about them. I can't say it fully because the announcements will be made at Congress.
Right,
I can't tell you.
No. I don't mean the recipients. I mean, what do the awards honor?
Well, they all honor lifetime achievements in the co-op sector, and there's the people who will be receiving the awards are certainly well deserving around this. And I'll say.
Okay, I won't press you any further. No, it's just...
It's such a surprise to the people.
Okay, we don't want to say too much. I mean, Fiona Duguid just told us that there was an award given out, isn't there, Dale?
Yes,
over at Cask and the recipient.
It's as much fun to see the reaction.
Yeah, exactly. No, I just wondered because different organizations give out awards. So there's the awards and there's the gala. And you told me recently that you're at capacity at the site of the Congress at the Delta Ocean Point. Is there still time to register? And can folks stay elsewhere? It's getting filled up.
They certainly can. It's filled up in terms of hotel space. It's going to be the largest attendance I think we've had at a Congress yet. The Delta is booked, but there's certainly hotels that we can link you to on site, which are within walking distance of the Delta. I myself will be staying off site as well, just to make room for this. We've got actually have members coming from Korea, from China, from Africa.
Wow.
So it's interesting. We're having some international contingents coming on with us.
That's going to be fantastic. So if people still want to register, they can?
They certainly can, yep, on site. Go to our main site at canada.coop, and it's at our front page, and then you can link to our event website, and all the details are there.
That's wonderful. Paul, thanks so much for talking to us about this, and we wish you a very successful Co-op Congress June 19th to 21st in Victoria. Thanks so much.
I look forward to having you there with us.
Yes, I am going to be there, and I appreciate being able to attend and cover this for Each for All. And I've been reading the program, and it really sounds amazing with both the workshops, the tours, the keynotes, and a wonderful setting. So it's going to be really great. Paul, thanks so much, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. That's bye now. That's Paul Saba, Manager of Cooperative Development and Strategic Partnerships at Co-ops and Mutuals Canada. And yes, I'll be in Victoria covering the Co-op Congress for Each for All, and I'm really looking forward to meeting my fellow cooperators there, and that's June 19th to 20th.